96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This is my testimony, everybody. How God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words.
Love is patient, caring. Love is kind.
Love is felt most.
Love is felt most when
it's genuine.
When it's genuine. But
I had my share of love abuse.
Abuse.
Manipulated. And his strength,
misused.
And I can't help but to give God glory. When I think about my story, I got a story to tell.
And I know
you favored me because
my enemies did try.
I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed. On my way to my destiny. Because the favor of God is on my life. Let me tell you about love.
Love
is patient.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, June 2nd, and it's a little after 11 in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host during this open line Thursday. So whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want me to perhaps give my opinion on, kindly call in. I'll be happy to entertain you. So call me and tell me what's on your mind. Tell me about what's great that is happening to the Bahamas, what you have some concern about, and what's topical inside the news that you would like to discuss. So again, what is trending? We see there is a great exchange between the former prime minister and the honorable former minister. I found that entertaining, and I would like to know what you think about that, right? A number of the quotes I smiled at, like this one. While appearing on The Revolution with host Warren McCartney on Tuesday, former cabinet minister Shane Gibson said that Dr. Hubert Minnis asked him for help to raise money as he battled Loretta Butler Turner for leader of the FNM. See, I smiled at that. I did. I mean, you know, them back teeth showing type smile? Because I said, I didn't know Mr. Shane Gibson was good for that type of money. To have one of the richest parliamentarians in the like of Dr. Hubert Minnis to seek him out, right? And say, man, can you help me? Things rough, man. I don't have that type of money. I know you have some fun raising skills. Can you bring me a couple dollars so I can help run against LBT? When I heard that, I say, what in the name of Lifeaki and Night God is he trying to say? What is this? Right? Another one, that quote that got me entertained, you know, smiling, big teeth showing, right, was this quote inside the Guardian newspaper. I went to his little jam balcony. See, and I smile at that, you know. I said, boy, some people how small. You know when the person speaking how so huge that he can make fun of someone else's jam up balcony? I know if you all ever see the former prime minister condominiums. I would have called that big. But anyway, it just means that it ain't as big enough and worth mentioning. I went I went to see him in his balcony, and the good German mentioned it twice on three different, mentioned it three times on three different interviews, that the balcony is so egregious that he had to say that is jam up, right? On his condo top, and put cash in his hand where I helped him raise money. Me and him were cool, Mr. Gibson said. So I sit there and I said, most people don't analyze these things, but scenery different. Let's analyze that. Now we find out that the former minister is good for raising $100,000 with ease in a couple of days, right? And I'm saying, this is exactly why we need finance reform, political finance reform. Because where did Mr. Gibson get $100,000 so and handed it to the former prime minister just like that? I know that's yours, man. Do what you want to do with that. In fact, I know you plan to run against my party. What I want to stay in, I want to finance you to make sure that you win. Think about that. The PLP is finance the FNM. Just a strange world. Because I wouldn't help them buckets them at all if they were on the other side. But I differenter. So that's one of the things I want to talk about. Because I have some other quotes that I want to read regarding that. I wanted to know if anyone saw the list of the new honorees for the Queen's Honours. There's 15 of them. Some great names out there. And I want to know what you think about that. I see a former senator has been arrested, detained briefly at bail, $4,000, for sexually assaulting a little boy. Mind you, I don't plan to talk about that in detail because it's before the courts, right? But certain things, big man, ain't supposed to be accused of. That's my thing. You can accuse me of all kinds of things, you know, say, boy, Nuri, you use some big words there and quarter pound words and tell that person about that. But certain that, I don't think anyone could accuse me for that. Because I differenter. I just differenter. Certain things you just can't accuse me of. I see that there's a tropical storm is headed towards this way, right? And I'm just now, this is one reason why I'm late. I hit a pothole and of course the tire flat. And so it took me a while to get it fixed and I had to rush here. Right, that's why I'm a little out of breath. And I'm finding out that rain and pothole just don't mix. And in my area of Fox Hill, we have some craters. Not no ordinary craters, though. Those craters, when your car hit it, you shout a world with mothers. And I didn't shout mothers, by the way. I shouted a different type of wording. But I want you to feel that tears came down my eyes when I realized I hit that hole so hard, right? So I realized that I'm concerned about this tropical storm. I want to know what you're doing to prepare, what the government is doing to prepare, especially with these potholes. You know, rain and potholes don't go. Another thing inside the news is I see that medical marijuana is back, right? Back in the news in the forefront, they're talking about it now again. It's for the third or fourth time. And I'm noticing keywords. They didn't say weed and legalizing weed, you know. They said medical marijuana. I want to rasta them understand what's happening. They can get left out. But I want you to join me in today, right? Just one of these days when I miss Nahaja. Where Nahaja is? I try to text her and say, Nahaja, you see the prime minister and the former minister Rowan? Because I know she would have invited me on her show. And we would have played one clip, and we would have had some discussions. But she's a diplomat now, so she can't do those things. But I need to text her when she ain't busy and say, man, did you see that? But Kermit, before we go on break, I have one more clip there. It didn't download? You can't play it? It doesn't have any... okay, no problem. That clip we can't play. I was hoping to play the exchange between a recording between the prime minister and the minister, but that's a different show, so we can skip that. But before we go to break, if you want to join me today, is 323-6232-325-4316. and 325-4259. Kermit, is that a caller right there before I go on break? Yeah, let me put on my earpiece. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
And thanks for holding on so long. Sorry about that.
I am on a lot of my query or question that I'd like to keep the discussion going, I'd like for you to bring, if you can, a little clarification to the issue involving the P.A. Glover and the Office of the Financial Department. I read some things, I heard some things, but I'm still not clear on.
What did you hear that you're not clear on? So let me talk. Let's talk with that.
No, I just, to put it in Bahamanese, people say themselves, but I don't understand how that happened. And if it did, then I want to know who is being held accountable. I just want to know if it's a resolution to that, because I understand that they said that that's not what happened. So it's two people presenting two different sides, and I wanted to know if there's any resolution
okay.
on which one
I understand. So I'll put it how I understand it. That's the best I can do, right? The financial officers got a note from the authorities, which would be their permanent secretary and I guess the minister or whoever at cabinet. They send a note and say, y'all going to get a raise. And this is your raise here, right? And the process started, and as they got permission, and I guess it's supposed to get finalized or whatever it is, but they were given permission to get the increase. So the increase started. And I think that the Honorable Minister, in her attempt to explain that the policies on the follow-up was not adhered to, despite them having the permission to get the increase, despite Cabinet approving the increase and that they're entitled to it, that because the policy didn't follow through, she declared that the financial officers overpaid themselves. And the financial officer said, and the keyword is illegally overpaid themselves. And the financial officer said, no, we didn't overpay themselves. Y'all pay us. We got permission from y'all, and we got paid. And so that's where the debate is. The debate is over verbiage, and the verbiage over with the minister. Because in her attempt to explain it, she kind of insinuated, more pushed forward, hinted, declared that someone who are in name of the financial officers did something untoward. And of course, the union and the financial officers flare up and say, what you mean untoward? We ain't do nothing. We followed protocol. Now, if you want to talk about y'all up there, who ain't follow protocol, y'all talk about that. So that's I think that's a good explanation for that, and I hope that you understand that. I see we get another call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, I'm curious about that. I'm curious about that statement that Glover made also, because it feels to me like she is under the rug type of calling them thieves, the way it come across to me. Now, I don't believe that's what she intentionally did, but these guys worked in this department for years, so they would know the complete process. So I'm trying to wonder, why is this a problem if these guys worked there so long, knowing the process, which part of the process they did not follow is where I'm confused.
It's not that they did not follow. They followed the process. You know when you are relay runner and uh-huh. you receive
oh,
a baton,
yes. You pass on the baton
and you pass on the batons and they say, did you do a good job? Yes, I did a good job. Did you receive the baton properly? Yes, I received the baton properly. Did you pass on the baton properly? Mm-hmm. Yes, I passed on the baton properly. All was well. And then the one at the finish line miss and drop it. The whole team might have to get blamed, but why cast the blame on me when I did everything properly? And that's where people are frustrated. She, maybe not intentionally, decided to select and pick out a particular crew. And she picked out a crew who passed on the baton properly instead of blaming those who should have been blamed. And this is why those people are upset. They said, how dare you suggest that we did something untoward when we followed the law, we followed the policy, we followed the protocol. So they hurt, and they rightfully should be hurt.
I understand that part of it. Okay, so where does it come in with the overpaying part? And the point is, all of them didn't get this money. That's part of my concern, too. How is it that only a handful of persons got this money, as if the rest of them didn't deserve it?
See, and you remember when it said that there are bosses or executives who are supposed to do their job?
Yes.
The financial officers aren't the bosses.
No.
The bosses who are supposed to do their job ain't do their job properly. And when they cast down the information to particular set, those particular set got their raise and their increases. That I have nothing to do with them.
True.
And the point is, the unfortunately, the minister says, y'all. And she said, it can't be me. And they said, no, it's y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the problem is. The people said, it can't be me. Go blame the people and who you want to blame. Play your politics over there. But don't bring it toward hardworking people.
Okay.
And that's where the problem is. Someone got blamed.
So that's the issue, too, because they are, the way I see it, I'm so sorry. I know I'm going to get backlash probably from saying it, but I'll say it anyway. They seem to be grasping at every and anything since the administration left the building to see if they could find something there that's unsightly or something to say, aha, gotcha. Type of thing. That's how I read it, to be honest with you.
And perhaps
because
you're right.
I see, like, she, being a minister and being a person who come from HR, should know better. She should have waited and do her due diligence and do her job properly to find out the bottom of it and then come out and say, okay, this was what our finding was. However, this is what the result is. Rather than just jump up and speak out on it, now those persons are hurt. Their feelings are hurt. I feel bad for them because looking at them, it makes me think, hold on, she's trying to say, oh, keep this money.
And it's a matter of interpretation, though, because I understand what the minister intended to say. She was trying to say that the policy was not followed through.
She rushed to say it. I felt like she should have waited, get more evidence on it, do more digging into it, because now those persons and her, as much as she's saying she would want to work with them, those persons are going to be feeling, because you know, as behemoths, we just hold grudges.
And I hear you, but these are sensible, educated behemoths. You know, these are not regular behemoths.
These are the same sensible, educated behemoths.
All she, the minister, got to do is say, man, I didn't intend to say it like that. I'm sorry. And let's move forward. And as smart behemoths, I'm sure those financial officers said, okay, just make sure my money's straight. Because that's what's a concern also. Because the minister hinted that they got to pay that money back. And I ain't paying no money back.
No, that pays back from what though?
Ah, there you go. You know,
most
that didn't spend twice.
The paycheck to paying back it from where? Yeah. Unless you're taking something $20 out of my paycheck every week or every month for it, because I ain't got no money. I don't spend that. Okay.
Yeah.
But I felt like she should have waited to say something rather than jump into conclusion that quick. And I think that's what hurt her and that's what hurt those persons' feelings.
But the good thing is, Minister Pia Glover, I forget her married last name, is a good minister. And you see that she's making efforts to change things. So I believe that will win over her persons who work underneath her, because they see that she's making effort. She's making effort. She's doing accountability. And one hiccup ain't going to mash up everything.
True. I'll give her that. Yeah, but I still feeling like she should have waited. Yeah. But she seemed to have the skills that can win those persons over. You know, it can take some time and some work, but and then she would have to do some public experience, public apologies, in order to get some of that done also.
Yes. And I appreciate your call. You prepare for your hurricane yet? You buy any flashlight?
Of course I'm prepared. I'm very well prepared.
I'm making sure.
When June first came, I started trembling. No lie. I wasn't in the Dorian because I was here in Nassau, but I started trembling when June first hit because I am afraid now. I feel like I'm walking on thin ice.
You see the water? You should be concerned. These waters flooding.
One little bit of rain and you can't go nowhere because every place is flooded. So you can imagine a hurricane with the rain.
Yeah.
It's very frightening.
It is. But you stay safe. You stay safe.
Thank you. You do the same.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, man. Kermit, that's another call? Okay, man. No. Caller, are you there? Is that a call? No? Okay, let's go on. So another thing I found interesting, because there's a great debate raging on now, but increasing the minimum wage rate. And mind you, any increase, because I just get one little increment out of the day, any increase I celebrate for the Bahamian people. But personally, I see no need, and I want you to listen to me, because I have an argument for this, and I don't see no need to increase the minimum wage rate in the Bahamas. Anyone who thinks increasing the minimum wage rate is treating the economic symptoms and not necessarily the disease or the ailment that the Bahamas is facing. So let me explain. The issue we have in the Bahamas is that the cost of living is too darn high. And the idea of moving towards a livable wage without addressing the factors that is causing this expensive living is making no sense. Because if I get a raise now and the prices increase, I'm still at the same point where I start. So I am reminded that the Bahamas is ranked as the 9th expensive country in the world. And we follow Bermuda and Barbados, right? So I think that we are setting ourselves to the failure if we increase the minimum wage rate, right? Making our country more expensive without actually addressing that gas is high. Operating a business is high. Labor is here is high, right? So when you, mind you, like I said, I ain't saying you can't give the people them a raise, no. I'm just saying that is not where the problem is. That's just the ailment, you know, the symptoms, and not necessarily the disease, right? So mind you, I see that the current government has done a number of things to help to go along with the increase in the minimum wage. I see that they try to lower some some expenses, some taxes, right? That you are able to purchase, you have more buyability, right? And I appreciate that because it seems as if somebody is listening or somebody understands that the increase in the minimum wage ain't gonna be enough. This is just ain't gonna be enough, right? So what else is trending? So yeah, I'm still looking at that conversation and exchange between a Hubert Minnis and a Sheen Gibson. You know, and I pause. Is it normal for persons in the opposite party to sponsor the leader of the party that is trying to get into government, the opposition? Right? I mean, is that normal? Now, have you to tell me that a Leslie Miller to give a Hubert Minnis won $5,000, right? Like I say, that happens, right? Because they're friends. And I'm trying to see the connection that a Sheen Gibson has with a Hubert Minnis. Now, mind you, Minnis declared that Gibson is perhaps alive from a pit of hell. And in response, I see Gibson say, if Minnis said that, then he is the liar from the pit of hell. So I find it entertaining. And when Mr. Gibson put it forward that he was politically targeted, right? And that this targeting of him impacts his entire family. You know who I start thinking about? I start thinking about Adrian. So I wonder how Adrian feels if he's going through the same emotions that Mr. Gibson said that he went through, that it impacts his entire family. And I said, that's interesting. That's interesting indeed, right? But before I continue on, every time I'm going to try to go to commercial break to pay the bills, there's another caller. I don't like my callers them to be waiting, right? But what I'll do is, let me go. Let me take that caller on the next side of the break.
You're welcome.
Okay.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
A local paper in Grand Bahama is back every Tuesday as a section of the Nassau Guardian. Available at local stores, gas stations, pharmacies, Western Bakery, and Bellevue Gifts. Daily and, of course, on Tuesdays too. Want to reach your Grand Bahama audience? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and we have an open line Thursday where you can call in and say what's on your mind and what's something great happening in the Bahamas, what's some concerns you have in the Bahamas. And I see I have a caller. The line is blinking, so I welcome you, caller. Go ahead. And the caller happened to hang up, right? And I am excited about the 18 persons being named to the Queen's Honors. I recognize that we have a number of religious leaders that has been honored. And I see that we have Bishop Delton Fernando, who I'm familiar with, and Walter Hanschel, and I'm familiar with his humanitarian efforts through the Bahamas and his feeding program. And of course, the singing bishop himself. You know, when you're so happy someone is being rewarded or recognized, especially someone who's humbled, and clearly his rewards must be a blessing from God. Because one would consider it strange, like, how did you get here, right? All the way from the back of bush on Cat Island to come here and have a small church and then have it expand and just feeding people, you know? And then knowing that the government, and that mind, I'm talking about that, I have something of concern. I need to put it on the radio. But right now, I have a caller, so let me hear what the caller has to say. Go ahead, caller. Guy in radio.
Hello, C.A.
Hey, man. Welcome. Thanks for calling.
Yes, it is truly amazing. You asked a question about the former minister, Mr. Gibson, and Minister. Even people really, really don't remember, just forget, or just play ignorant. The reason why Sheen extended that courtesy call to Mr. Hubert Minnis is because Sheen Gibson and Dr. Hubert Minnis, the former prime minister, are business partners.
Business partners? What you trying to say?
They are business partners, and I give you one of their businesses. One of their businesses is Destiny Lakes out in the back there. It was Junior Battle, one of the owners, God rest his soul, Sheen Gibson and Dr. Hubert Minnis. They own Destiny Lakes. So that just goes to show you how dirty politics is inside this country. Now, I heard those TUC members this morning on the radio, but Dwight, something wrong with Dwight, because...
No, you can't be dissing Dwight, Dwight's the boss. And you, you can't be talking bad, but Dwight is the boss. He's the boss.
I can't hear you.
You can't be talking bad, but Dwight, he's the boss.
No, I ain't talking bad, but Dwight, something might be wrong. That could be positive or negative.
Okay,
but,
I'll let you leave it. Go ahead.
But Dwight just don't allow you to speak truth sometimes. He click the button. The only way we can make a proper assessment of anything, like you say, or like the lady said before me, you got to get all of the facts in, respectfully, all of the facts.
Mm-hmm.
Those members was on this morning, every last one of them need to resign forthwith.
Give me one reason why.
Because they the problems in the TUC.
Give me one reason why. Why you say that?
Huh?
Give me one reason why you say that.
You really want me to give you a reason?
Yeah, just one.
A truthful reason.
Truthful reason.
Because in the early, mid to early 80s, and I always say this, O.B. Ferguson, when we were at the height of unionism in this country, I used to be a sharp shot and a chief sharp shot, said during the Progressive Liberal Party's reign, I think that was prior to 92, that he would never lead his members in demonstration against the Progressive Liberal Party.
You sure he said that?
Pardon me?
You sure he said that?
Listen, that is common. Forget the newspapers. yet he said that on national radio and TV. That's where I get it from. Obi Ferguson them is perpetrating a fraud. That's the reason why you can't get those two unions to come together, because they are overly political. You hear him this morning gloating? If my memory serves me correct, in the last administration, he was all on the news, all on the talk shows, everything talking how he can't get this and he can't get that, the Free National Movement. And I ain't no FNM. But all of a sudden, the other party in power, and he all about gloating about minimum wage and this, and he's so excited and he's so happy. And that is one of the main reasons in this country. It is a compromise.
I hear you, Colum, and I'll entertain that. This is where union members need to call in and give their testimony. This is Labor Day. In union members and labor needs to speak. And even though there's solidarity forever, if there's a Kansas inside a union, you need to cut it out. But I appreciate your comments. I like Obi Ferguson. I think he has done a lot for the union movement. But perhaps there needs to be a transition. I see that the government is looking to pay off legal settlements. I wonder who sued the government, and we need to settle them urgently. I just don't know when, like 2 million. Anyway, let's change that. I see I have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah,
thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Mr. Newey.
Good morning.
Yeah, that last caller was real. And so, you know, as a senior man, a citizen, 58 in August, right? You know, it seems to me, I'm not going to call anybody names, but I'd like to say this first. Dwight is your boss. He's not everybody's boss, all right? No, I don't mean, you know, that's the way it is. But the thing is, he highlighted a problem of a social ecosystem. That's the reason why. Plausible deniability. And I've seen where people in the status quo are allowed to come on the radio and mitigate accusations against them. But if we get to the bottom line of investigating where they amass all of this wealth, and building houses and buying a house in Ocean Club Estates and building a life again, buying a yacht, and nobody's questioning them about their money. He just showed you an example. But what I'm saying is, nobody give explanation for the hurricane relief money. And in a real chronological sense, no paperwork, no Freedom of the Information Act. I call it freedom of anyhow, listen, what I'm saying is, we use for politics, is used, and the media is helping to obfuscate, because no truth is not allowed to be spoken. So what I'm saying is, once you get to the final analysis, the money, like there was an accusation about a certain person having $5 million in a bank account somewhere in the world. I don't care where it is. That you're not doing this type of investigation. If I move out life key now, what you can say? If you're 52, get this money from me. 52, buy a yacht. If 52, that's what I'm saying. It's nobody's a nation of BS's, man. That's all we are. All of these investigations are futile and meaningless and wasting the taxpayers' money.
I hear you, 52. I had a passion. And I remember, and I see you hinted toward it, and it's not that you cannot call a name. During the campaign, they said that a bank account for the former minister, in this case, Shane Gibson, was an American bank account, and they were questioning how come he has funds in there. But I don't have the detail about it, so I'm not going to discuss it. But I believe in questioning our politicians. I'm not sure what type of money Mr. Gibson had before he had joined the politics, but he had a profession. He was a part of the union, and union leaders make good money. And he has invested his money, and he is now a rich man, and he has been cleared of all charges. So any kind of insinuating of anything ill toward it is wrong, right? I just find it entertaining that Mr. Minnis would ask Shane Gibson for money, because I thought Minnis had buku dollars, and apparently Gibson has more money than Minnis, you know? And I find that entertaining, you know? I also want to talk about that. Mr. Gibson said he was an FNM, and I'm wondering, if he was an FNM, I'm pretty sure he was, why didn't senior members of the FNM come forward and say, hey, you know, we have a duty of care for anyone who is in the party. So you can't be running down these people. But I sincerely think that perhaps, this is my opinion, that perhaps Mr. Minnis was taking instructions, considerations from an external party interest, that this is reason why he had that as part of his mantra during the corruption, ending corruption in the Bahamas, as part of his campaign ad reform, and also that his first speech internationally, we're going to stamp out corruption. So perhaps this is the reason why he went so hard. He got some information. And, you know, with WikiLeaks, we find out that there are certain people, big brothers, who's listened to all our telephone conversation. You know, so that'd be interesting. But I see you have another phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Yuri. Morning, morning.
Morning. How you doing?
All right, dear man. Only got two quick questions here. Firstly, I thought according to the Constitution or our penal code, but I think it's more the Constitution, that Bahamians weren't allowed to have external bank accounts in other jurisdictions. Am I correct?
I do not know.
Okay. And I think that is my understanding for quite some time now. And if that is the case, I do recall they said that Bahamians cannot, for instance, even have a bank account in Miami. Just using that as a close jurisdiction. So how is it now that if this is in our constitution or our penal code, that certain parties are allowed to do so and there's no penalty, but yet you're telling the ordinary citizen that they aren't allowed to have external bank accounts outside of the Bahamas as long as you are a citizen here? So that's something that needs to be questioned. As far as the union is concerned, and I'm trying to rush this very quickly, I think they should not give the appearance that they're leaning to any political party because it sets a very bad precedent. I see people are making reference to prior to the last election where the union members, in principle, by a standing of memo of understanding, were sat down and, in principle, agreed to certain things that would be considered should the current government have been elected. I think that also set a very bad precedent. I believe that the union is supposed to be so autonomous and not relying on any political government, because if the political party government would do what is in the best interest of the Bahamian people, then those kind of things would not have even been put forward in terms of a consideration. I think this is where most of the mistrust in this country for unions come into play, because it seems as if every union, let me change that statement. It is the perception that these unions are actually playing with political parties to get favor, when they should really be in there agitating for the rights under their own power to get these things done. And I believe that they need to change that perception, all right? That's all I want to contribute this morning. Thanks for taking my call.
And Jeff, thanks very much for calling. And perhaps union memberships need to start questioning the executives. But I know, Jeff, you were trying to get in contact with me. Call the radio and leave your number again. I lost your number. I tried calling the other day and I realized that, Jeff, I do not have your number. And I see that this month, June, is LGBT month. And I see that the American Embassy is flying the LGBT flag yet again. And again, I see the Christian Council leaders there making noise saying, this is the Bahamas, and you need to respect us and our sovereignty. And in regards to the United States, well, this is the United States Embassy, and this is technically the United States. But what, in truth, they're trying to do is have better conversations, right? And to remind us that the LGBTQ community here are mostly Bahamians, I guess. And Bahamians should have certain rights and enjoy certain rights, like all Bahamians. And I see there's one or two concerns. I think that was the chair of the affairs. I should have listened better. Said that some LGBTQ persons have issues seeking medical help and they have issues with the police officers. And I guess that's where our culture comes in. Right. And as we have better conversations, trying to understand exactly what their issues are, and then we express ourselves and say, culturally, we are comfortable with this, but we are able to accommodate that, we will have a better Bahamas. So I think during this month, if you can talk to one or two people in the community and try to understand and appreciate what they claim they're going through, that perhaps we can have a commonality point. I see you have another call. Go ahead, caller. Thank you very much for holding.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. It's me again. I called a few minutes ago.
Yes, ma'am.
Listen, the flies or the flying thing. I feel like they should not do that. They should respect our feelings as Bahamians, because the things that the LGBT, I'm so sorry, I can never get it right.
Yes,
but those
the
persons
community.
Are advocating for, that's the problem with the entire Bahamas.
Okay, before you go on, give me one thing the community you think has that has an issue, the whole Bahamas have an issue with. Just one that you think that they,
sorry,
they're promoting.
Say that again?
Give me one thing that you are concerned about regarding the community.
Regarding the LGBTQ thing, the
yes,
people?
Yes, yes.
They're too forward.
So forwardness is an affront to you.
I feel like if you are involved with someone, whoever it may be, I have friends of those, so it doesn't matter to me. But if you are involved with someone, that's your personal private business.
Okay, I agree with you.
There is no need to push that on me.
Okay.
If I don't believe in that, then please allow me to keep my belief. I'm not going to knock you. I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to threaten you. However, I don't like the fact that they feel like you must change how you believe or how you feel to accommodate them. That's not fair to me. So how is it being fair to me when you're forcing your views on me? I'm not forcing my views on you. This is how you was brought up the way I was.
Mm-hmm.
If you tend to change, that's on you. That has nothing to do with me. So because you decide that you wanted to be something different from the way you was brought up, now I must accept that. If I'm accepting you, I don't have to be with you or be around you.
One question before I let you go. Are you able to accept, tolerate, to agree, feel comfortable with two gay gentlemen holding hands, walking, like where I walk with my wife in the mall all the time, holding hands, walking through the mall? Are you comfortable with that?
It don't bother me.
Okay, I'm just trying to see where you at. That, but you are comfortable with that at least, because you said the forwardness is what you're.
Yes, it's the fact that they are trying to push their views on you and trying to make you accept it, whatever it is that they. And the thing about it is, my feeling with it is, when you accept certain things, it's like how we say it's a Bahamian thing. You give me an inch, I take it a mile.
Okay, so it's fair. You're kind of scared.
Yes, because I feel like we accept them. We don't bother them here that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a few friends in that lifestyle. It don't matter to me. However, please allow me to keep my feelings towards it. I don't like it, mind you. I think it's very ungodly. However, I'm not going to bother you with it. So don't act as if, because medical assistance is a problem for everybody in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Police assistance, the young lady killed herself the other day because the police did not take her seat, but that's everybody's problem. We have hungry, starving people. We have black rights problems in America. There's so much things going on, and I don't see the U.S. doing anything to fly a flag or to make a statement or to put themselves out there. No. But then it comes to that, it's like they're trying to make you do it the way they're doing it. That's not fair to us.
I appreciate you, caller. Thank you very much for calling. I think I have a next caller there, Kermit. Patch them there through. Let me hear what they have to say today. What's their concern? What are they happy about in the Bahamas?
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to Guardian Radio.
This must be call back day, but right quick. Listen, something you cut me off before, I want to say, I would like to congratulate Mrs. Belinda Wilson on her achieving the presidency of the new DUC, a Congress union.
A lot of union people mad.
Pardon me?
A lot of union people mad.
Listen, they could be what they want, but I could tell you, see, I'm a man of truth and honesty, so I get cut off fairly for speaking the truth. But Mrs. Wilson, they can't strap her sandals when it comes to truth, integrity, and honesty. I am one of her biggest fans. And I ain't just get her heart. I know Belinda Vincent. Ben, she was Belinda Johnson. True blend of heart, St. John's College. And that woman was always focused. And anytime Guardian Radio wanted to, you call people like me, Stopper, OJ, a.k.a. OJ, or you call 52. You get the truth. Thanks for taking my call.
Amen. I have one more caller before we go to again. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for calling Guardian Radio. That's it? First thing up? Okay, I enjoyed the show. Let me just read some of these texts. CAA, the caller is wrong. It has nothing to do with the Constitution or the Penal Code. The central bank requires all Bahamians with accounts outside of the Bahamas to declare those accounts for foreign exchange purposes, but there is no prohibition against any Bahamian having a bank account or investments. And I think one of the issues was that this was donated money to the Bahamas or to constituents here, and that it was away and foreign, just sitting there. No one knew that it was there. But I'm not sure what came about that. It just, like in politics, after the election goes, those things are all forgotten about, right? But I truly enjoyed this conversation. I do apologize for coming late today. Thank you very much for texting and calling in and speaking what's on your mind. Tomorrow is Labor Day. We foresee rain on Saturday. So try and come out and enjoy Friday as much as possible, because that'll be maybe the last sunny day we see until Monday, Tuesday. And this has been Guardian Radio in AM. My name is C.A. Nuri, and thank you for joining.